but now I see.
If you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 8th chapter, we'll read verse 4 through 15 of the 8th chapter of Luke. Just remember now that we're still on the 6th seal, and this will be message number 9 on it, but we won't just read that same scripture all the time because we've read it enough for most of you ought to be able to just about quote that scripture by heart now, so we'll maybe read another scripture or something, but we're still speaking on the 6th seal on redemption. So just keep that in mind now and just study it from that part of redemption from the 6th seal, and we'll read in Luke, the 8th chapter. If you'll remember, this is the same scripture you'll find in Matthew that runs about 1 through 23, but we'll read here from Luke 8, beginning in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. These have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. That which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's all just pray together. Father, we ask you to be with us this morning. Just guide us by your understanding. Forgive our sins. Bless us as we speak on thy word. Let your light shine in each one of our hearts, that we may see you made manifest among us. Lord, just guide us now. Forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been quite a while, I know, on this sixth seal, but if we preached on it like comes to me sometimes, we'd be quite a while longer. So just remember to pray for us. We're not trying to just kill time. We're trying to get a point across. I was talking to my wife about something yesterday, and she said, "Well, why do we have to have all of that like that, you know?" I said, "Well, if it hadn't, I wouldn't have caught it." I said, "I wouldn't have caught that point there to say that, so we just have to take it down through there, and then when we do, you'll get over and see what it really is, and you'll know what the things really are in the Word. You'll see every scripture." Now that's one thing I want us to watch today, that everything in the Bible must tie together. You know what a pattern is? You ladies use a pattern to make you a dress, and everything must be exactly in that pattern made to fit. Then when it all comes together, it makes a dress. But in the Bible, you've got a pattern that you got something as a standard like to look at, and then you follow that all the way through the Bible and you come out with the same thing that you see there in the scriptures, and then you see all of that pattern fits together and builds the same thing, because a woman don't just say, I'll just go down here and buy me a pattern. They've got a picture on the front of the little folders that you buy those patterns in. I've seen them of my wife's, that they've got a picture there of about three ways you can make a dress from that one pattern. Well, you wouldn't just go in a store and say, I want a pattern for a size 8 or something like that, a pattern, and I want to make a dress. Well, the lady would say, well, what kind do you want to make? I just want to make a dress. Just give me a pattern. No, you get a picture of what you're looking at. You know, what the dress is supposed to look like when it's finished. And then when you get all of that finished, it's got to look like that picture on the front of it, unless you've changed your pattern somewhere. It's supposed to look just like it. Well, we know who the pattern is. The pattern's Christ. We've got to wind up with a church in the last days with the same pattern, but now everything in there must come out the same way. Everything must fit exactly and come right down to the same way and set a pattern, and that's what we've been doing with the sixth seal. We've done it with every seal and then come out and speak on it. But you've got to set a pattern down, and just if you miss what I'm talking about and don't see the pattern, then go back on your notes that you write or get the tapes and listen to the previous messages to where you'll see that we just keep setting a pattern right down through there in the Scriptures and seeing what will happen over in the tribulation period to Israel. We see that as a pattern laid out before. Well, then when we see that, then we can look at that and see that what we're seeing exactly matches what was here. Well, as Brother Branham said, then we got to be close somewhere then. See if it'll fit. But now if you come out with a skirt over here and a pattern and you started out to make a dress, then the ladies would know you somewhere along the line. You changed your pattern. You done something wrong because it was not supposed to be that way. Well, that's what I've been doing just over and over. See, just sometimes reviewing the same things that we'd said time after time, but go back and get them to make sure that you're still catching and seeing that it all ties together. Well, then if it'll all tie together, then we can stand on it as a sure foundation. I was talking to a man here just recently about the seals, and he said, well, Brother Dale said, if we don't catch that sixth seal, we ain't going to get to seventh. I said, if you don't catch a sixth seal and what it reveals, there is no seventh. I said, there wouldn't be a seventh because you ain't got a symbol, a type, a shadow. You ain't got nothing there to go on when you come to the seventh seal, the prophet said. Well, if you don't get the sixth seal right, or even six seals, plural, right, not only just the sixth, but if you don't get those seals right, you won't have a seventh. There's not a seventh for you to come to. The seventh is a completion of all the six. Now, we've done found, and I want to speak on it one of these days, how the Lord does something, and then He reveals it. And then He'll make it manifest. And we've done found it on the sixth seal. It's where God comes on the scene to Israel in the tribulation. Well, surely we ought to be able to see that on the sixth seal, God will come on the scene to the bride. What that sixth seal reveals to us, God will come on the scene right there. That's the pattern now that I'm talking about. That's what I've been laying down and trying to bring it along and show it. To where that when we come up to it, then you'll see what we're talking about. But now, what did we cover on our last messages on the sixth seal? We covered how there'd be a purging of the world. There'd be a purging of the foolish virgins. There'd be a purging of the 144,000. That's on page 575 of the seal book that the prophet covered. He said this sixth seal is in a threefold manner, and then he covered what it was. All right, then, if it covers a purging, now I want you to think with me now. We've just been covering the kind of the natural things of it. We went into the seals of how that Israel would go into the tribulation and that there'd be a great tribulation strike the whole world like it's never been before. See, we went through it. We proved it in the types and the shadows and the backwards and forth of everything. Throughout the Scriptures of what the tribulation will be. And we saw it to be the most horrible thing that could ever be thought of would happen, will happen at that time. The world goes into great spasms of earthquakes.
stones fall or ice, blocks of ice falling from the sky weighing as much as 90 pounds or about a talent. Seeing those things in the scriptures and seeing where we're sitting now with now ice falling in places sometimes big as a golf ball. Hailstones. Where was that the other day? Somewhere around here that they had 6 inches of hail on the streets. It was in the paper. Well, just think now. All that's leading up to it. Look at all your earthquakes and all your different things that are going wrong in the world. It's just leading up to the time. See, it'll just keep getting worse and worse. Pestilence, famine, and all. Some countries, half of it dying of famine, the other half just flourishing. But see, then we know that we're here in the end time. But the most horrible things that could be thought of, how men will pray to die and can't, how they'll cry for the rocks to fall on them and things like that, how they'll be so bad in that that the buzzards and birds and all will eat the flesh right off the bodies before the person dies. Nuclear destruction, something has to let loose in all of those things, that men in their flesh will just rot away while they're still alive. Well, now, the worst things that we could think of, that's what we've been covering. But now, what I want to ask you today is that what purges Israel, you know, the 144,000? Is that what purges the foolish virgin? Is that what purges the world? I see we can just read from the prophet and we'll say the world is purged by the sixth seal. Now, is it those things that purges Israel, the world, the foolish virgin? Is it those horrible troubles or is it the word that purges them? That's what I want you to think on. This, is it the tribulation, is it the heartaches and the troubles and the trials and all of the things of the killings and all throughout the tribulation? Is that what purges Israel or is it the Word that purges them? The Word is what brings those things on to the world. It's not the killings and the murders and giving their lives for the gospel and all like that that purges the foolish virgins and things like that. It'll have to be something in the Word. That's what I want you to think on this morning. The Word has to do a work. Now, we found that this group of people, the 144,000, they reject the Word. I mean, talking about Israel, they reject the Word back there. When Jesus Christ came forth, He came to His own, but His own received Him not. They rejected the Word. Alright? They must come over here and by that same Word be purged. Not just put them into troubles and purge them. That's what I want you to see. It's not just, if it's that away, then the Catholics has got it. That's why I kept mentioning last week that it's not doing penance, you know, get out and find you a bunch of glass or something or crawl down this street out here for 2 or 3 miles until your knees are bloody and all doing some kind of a penance. That's not penance in God. That's just something where you're doing your own work. The Word. Now, I'm wanting you to get this for tonight's message more than anything else. The reason I just started off right at the beginning with it. The Word has to do the purging. What was it down in Egypt now when Moses was coming out of Egypt, and that's your sixth seal and type down there? What was it that plagued Egypt? And they came out. It was the voice of Moses that done the plaguing. It was the words from his mouth. It was not that he just had a stick and could bring flies and fleas and frogs and all like that. The cheap magician could do that. Every time he'd bring flies, Janice and Jambres, they'd bring flies. Every time he'd bring frogs, they'd bring frogs. It wasn't the great troubles then that was doing it, was it? That was not even in the type back there. In the type, it was the words of Moses' lips that done the purging there during that time. Because what did Moses do to the natural Jew at that time? Watch how the purging back there worked. When Moses come out of Egypt, he separated that people from the Egyptians. They wanted to stay down there, didn't they? They'd got kind of accustomed to it. You find them over there later, they'd eat garlics and cucumbers. Now that would be such a diet that I just couldn't quite comprehend it. But they'd eat garlics and cucumbers down in Egypt so long, they wanted to go back to the garlics and the cucumbers. I mean, you just think about to have a diet of garlics and cucumbers and you want to go back to it. I'd just about as soon go out and eat grass off the ground. If that's all I was going to eat, I might be able to find a little poke salad, you know, to where that I could get something that tastes a little different. But it was His Word that purged them. It was His Word that separated them from Egypt. They didn't want to leave. It was the Word that done it. Now, that's what I want you to get at. It wasn't just the troubles that brought Egypt, you know, Israel up out of Egypt. It wasn't just the bad things that was done, because everything that Moses done, Janice and Jambres done the same thing. Bringing down those flies and fleas and different things like that, they could do the same thing Moses done. So it wasn't just the persecution. All right, now getting over to the sixth seal. It's not just the persecution then. It's not just the flesh falling off the bodies. It's not just the great hailstones that are falling that does the purging. If it wasn't back there in Egypt, that was the type. Now, the antitype over here surely is not going to be that just troubles and heartaches is what's going to purge them. I'd like to see that anywhere in the Bible. Anywhere in the Bible, I'd like for you to show me where heartaches and troubles purged anybody. Now, I'm open for that. What I'm wanting you to see is see something from this that you'll see a foundation. Then when I speak it, you'll catch it just like that. And you'll go right into it and see what that sixth seal is actually doing right now among us. The sixth seal is the judgment seal of the Word. Now that's on page 412, 411, 412, and 555. You'll find it on page 555 also that it's the judgment. He's talking about Jacob and all of the troubles and all like that. And just while we're at that, think about Jacob. Was it the great troubles that Jacob was going through that purged him? Or was it the fact that he saw the Word and the promise in the Word that was made to him and he had to move out then and the Word done a work in him? It wasn't just the heartaches and troubles. That's just something you can see in the natural out there. It wasn't the heartaches and troubles in Egypt. That's something you can see. It was the Word that done the purging then. All right, then it would have to be the Word that does the purging now for your Bible to tie together. Now you'd have your pattern. You'd miss it then because that's what I was talking about. Your pattern has to hold true all the way through the Bible. Or you'd run out with something different over here than what you started with. All right, then think now. It's not the trouble that purges. I've heard people say, I heard a man one time at work, he's testifying at a meeting we was having there when we used to have preaching at the the plant during the dinner time, he is testifying one day, and he said, I used to doubt my salvation, and said, I just never could be satisfied till I read in the Bible where that you'd be persecuted and troubled for being a Christian. And he said, I saw the troubles and I'm going through, and said, now I know I'm a Christian. Well, that's a very flimsy excuse to meet God with. As I said before, Pope Paul was shot for what he believed. See, that would stop that in a hurry, wouldn't it? To think, boy, we're got to be a Christian because we're in heartaches and troubles. Well, why don't you just go on over to the tribulation period? You're going to get a whole lot more. As Brother Moat used to say, they'd say, well, I've got one leg off for the glory of the Lord. We'll just cut the other leg off and give Him double glory then. See, our thoughts become foolish when we face the Word. It's not the troubles in the Word that purges anybody. It's the Word that you face. Now, let's go through this just for a minute and see if we can pick it up. It's got to be the Word now that does it. And just think now, your pattern's got to tie all the Word together, or you won't know whether your revelation's right or not. And we're talking about redemption. So all redemption has got to tie together. You don't have a redemption for the world, and then a different type of redemption for the bride, and then a different type of redemption for Israel, and then a different type of redemption for the foolish virgin. Now, is that true? You've got only one redemption in the Bible. That's what makes it such a mystery for people to speak on, is redemption. Because you got to look to see whether it's talking about the world or the foolish virgin or the bride or Israel or what it's talking about to see what, because it's just talking about redemption. That's what I wanted you to see there the other day when I was showing you that on Revelation 7, Brother Branham would use that, and he'd say, went on the seal book, he said, that's not the bride. But then after the seals were broken on later in questions and answers and things, I've got it written down where he'd say that was the bride. Well, then, was he all mixed up? Or is it that scriptures can all link together and run together and all redemption can be revealed? That if you can see redemption in one thing, then you can take that all the way through. On the future home of the bride, page 14 and page 18, I know two of them, that Brother Branham said the redemption of the world is the same as the redemption for man. You're redeemed the same way. The world went through justification in Noah, sanctification in Jesus, and will get a fiery baptism one of these days. All right, the person goes through justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. Same redemption for the world as it is for man. All right, then there won't be a redemption for the bride, and then a different type of redemption for Israel, and a different type of redemption for the 144,000, or, you know, the Israel, different type for the foolish virgin. It'll all have to be one redemption that's revealed. All right, then we're starting off with a good foundation to see that all are saved by the blood. If you ever save one by the blood, you have to save the next one by the blood. Will Israel, after the blood's done gone with the bride up in the rapture, you know, the rapture had already taken place, will Israel be saved by something beside the blood? Will God just step down there to Israel and save her by some other way? Or will it still be by the blood? And see, the people thinking years ago redemption was over in 63 when the seals broke, they didn't even think about that it, redemption goes on to Israel one of these days after we leave out of here. And it'll go right on to the white throne judgment, and there'll still be redemption at the white throne judgment because the foolish virgin gets eternal life up there at the white throne judgment. Well, see, then, if you're saved, if one man ever reached one spot, that's where it's at. All right, then we've looked back in the Word now and found out that all are purged by the Word, not by the persecution. Jacob, which is a type of the sixth seal, the prophet covers in the sixth seal message. Jacob and his troubles is the type of the tribulation. But was it his troubles that purged him? Or was it the word that he knew? See, Jacob already had the promise. He already had it. He already had the word living there in him, you know, in the type. Then was it down in Moses in Egypt? Was it the plagues that purged Israel? Or was it the word that separated Israel from Egypt? Did they come out because of the troubles, or did they come out because of the word? All right, now, just think with us now. What will it be now? Watch the word, and you'll see the purging over here in the tribulation. You'll see what it is. Because as I said, this is the foundation for tonight. What will purge the world during the tribulation? It's got to be the word that does it. It's got to be that does it now. But what? Now, the word, don't get me wrong, the word is what brings the troubles, if you understand what I'm saying. The word is what brings the tribulation on. So the two witnesses standing there with their word from their mouth. Read your sixth seal and see if that ain't what he said. He said, they bring on that sixth seal when they want to. They open it when they want to. All right, then that's what does it then. There is the word, isn't it? The word is what opens up. The word is what does the purging of the world through the lips of the two witnesses. They can bring on the persecution. They can bring on the hail, the fire, the different things through their word that they bring. All right, now, what is it that purges the 144,000? As I said, is it the tribulation or is it the word of the two witnesses? They see Jesus Christ so much in those two witnesses till the Bible says they separate themselves and cry for days and fast. What is it they see? Do they see the troubles that's happening all around? Now they see the word. Brother Branham said, Israel will receive nothing but a prophet. He said, you can take all the Bibles you want to. The Baptists send missionaries over to Israel. Methodists send missionaries. Pentecostal, everybody, they send missionaries to Israel, trying to get them to convert it to see Jesus Christ. And then go over and teach them a Trinitarian doctrine, first off. And they laugh in their face. But he said, you might as well stay out of Israel. He said, because they'll never be converted until God comes to them through the prophets, Moses and Elijah in the tribulation, the two witnesses. All right, then it's not the persecution that purges them. It's the word that purges them. Now, think about the foolish virgin. She's put into tribulation for a purging. Is it the tribulation that purges her? See, I'm trying to show you that everything lays down that the Word does the purging, is what I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to get you to see that everything points throughout the Bible now there, that everything we're talking about, as I said, I'd like to have any scripture you could see in the Bible where that the Bible speaks of a person in trouble and that's what purges them. The Bible says, purge your own self. But now we know a little bit better than to just read a scripture and say, purge your own self. So I'll just go out and I'll quit this and I'll quit that. What does the purging? You can quit drinking. That's not purging. You can be just as big a drunk as it could ever be and quit drinking. That's not purging. Purging is when God comes in through the Word and does something to you. Purging is not you quit drinking. That's why that to me, under this sixth seal, I can see what I'm talking about under it, and I'm not talking about a legalistic type of works that we must purge ourselves. People would hear the message, they say, well, boy, you're trying to get a people purged. when the blood of Jesus Christ purges us from all sins. Well, I'm not even talking about that. Because what I'm talking about on the sixth seal, you'll find out soon that it is the blood that does the purging, because the blood and the Word are together. We say we don't need no purging. I keep saying that because a lot of people taught that. Well, why was marriage and divorce preached if we didn't need no purging then? You was already born again before it's preached, many of you. I'm not talking about for your soul. I'm talking about the rest of the person. But it'll be the Word that'll purge the rest of the person, or it won't be no purging done. Now, you can quit drinking all you want to. That's commendable. If it's not salvation in your heart, your women can quit cutting your hair, quit painting your face, and quit wearing short dresses and shorts and pants and things like that. That's commendable. That's good. I've got a little thing at home that I brought home from work the other day, a little pamphlet printed up where a woman back in, and I'd like for you to read it. If I think of it, I'll bring it tonight. A woman back in 1500 and something wrote a poem and told what would happen here in this world today, how man would go under the water and fly up in the skies. And then she gets down and said a little rhyme, and she talks about how the church would be, or the women said, will cut their hair and start taking off their virginity and wearing man's clothes. Now, wrote in 1500 and something. And wearing heels that looks like devil's horns. Now, that's what she called it. You know, we've all seen the devil's horns supposed to be sticking up about that long, you know, above his head. Well, you look at a woman with high heels. You can take that heel, you can kill a person with it. It's so sharp. One time I remember reading where that just an average-sized woman, there's 2,000 pounds pressure on a little bitty small spot that big. On the back of her heel, there's 2,000 pounds pressure on that. You ever seen one walk across the floor and leave it dents in the floor? I've seen it. Looks like devil's horn, don't it? I'll bring it tonight and let you read it if I don't get to read it myself. But just think now, what is it that purges the foolish virgin? What is it that purges? Is it the trouble? If it is, we'll get us a belt and go to whooping each other. Now, that's as sensible as I can make it, as honest as I can say. If trouble is what purges us, then I'll get us ready for the rapture. If you'll just line up and come by, we'll use the old belt line and just whoop the daylights out of everybody. But now that won't do it, will it? Catholicism, the Catholic Church, run it off into that, and they do penance by certain things that they've got to do, like pray in a certain way, you know, fasting for a certain amount of time, doing certain things. They think that's what purges them. That does not purge them. That is not biblical at all. It's the Word that does the purging, or it's not done at all. Now, it unproved it with Israel, and it unproved it with the world. Now, watch the foolish virgin. When the foolish virgin sees, and Brother Branham says on that 575 of the seal book, that they reject the Word is the reason they're in the tribulation. All right, then when they see they've turned down the Word, when the foolish virgin sees that they've turned down the Word, then they take the Word that they've turned down and die for it. So the Word does a purging for them too, don't it? They'll take the very Word that they've turned down and give their life for it. I want to get on it tonight if I can. They'll see their real self. They'll see then, you remember last week when I was talking about it? They'll see then that they're lost. Brother Branham said, when that woman saw her real self, he said, when she's come up to the time of to die, and that preacher, you know, she was screaming to him, saying, you're a deceiver of man and all like that. Brother Branham said she'd taught Sunday school, she'd done everything like that. But when she come down to dying, he said, all senses went back away from her. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear, memory, reason, conscience, affection, All of the senses, he said, went away, and she saw her real self, and she saw she is lost. And she began to scream for help. But listen, I told you, it's not going to be long people's going to see their real self. It's not going to be that just the anointed one at the end time will just go right on and everything. When the tribulation strikes, the people that knows they're not supposed to be there. You think you won't see your real self then? You think you won't see yourself lost is what I'm trying to get you to see? If I know there was blocks of ice falling out here in the yard weighing 90 pounds, you think I wouldn't know that I'd already missed the rapture? And by missing the rapture, I'd know that I was lost. Not that I saved. There wouldn't be no need then of saying, well, I believe Brother Branham's message, so I must be saved. Or I accepted the Lord one time back yonder years ago and I've lived a good life. It won't do any good then. You'll know where you're at. You'll know you're in the tribulation and the judgment has already struck. You'll know it then. And you'll see your real self then. And then you'll cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you. But just think now. They see the word that they have turned down has already produced a bride and sent her on in the rapture. And then they'll search out that word. That's why I told you, when I give a book away, if you're going to burn it, bring it back to me. That's what I always tell them. Say, if you're going to throw it away and won't read it, bring it back to me. But I never ask for one back. Because in the tribulation, that foolish virgin is going to have to know that she must give her life for the gospel so she can pick up the Bible, the other Bible and read it and see what it, and pick up the seal book and read the sixth seal, tribulation, and see that the foolish virgin must give her life for the gospel. All right, they go out and do that. So then it'll be the Word doing the purging, won't it? It'll be the Word that does the purging there, just like it is to the world and just like it is to the foolish, to the 144,000. The Word is what does the purging. So now we see that our pattern, going back to that word again now, our pattern holds true and shows all the way through the Bible the sixth seal mystery of the judgment seal of the Word. So it come all the way from Jacob, Egypt, down even to the cross being the sixth seal when Jesus was being crucified, come right on down through the Bible, comes right out to where we're talking about under the sixth seal that the Word does the purging. You see what I'm talking about? Now my pattern that I'm looking at come all the way through the Bible then. I have the same. I didn't change one religion for one, one redemption for this one, this redemption for that, and a different. That's all the same redemption. And that's through Jesus Christ. And Christ is the Word. The foolish virgin will see her real self. And she sees there ain't but one thing left. And that's to take the Word and die by it. So the Word is what does the purging, ain't it? So we want to see by the sixth seal our real self. We want to see our real self. Our pattern is not changed. Our mystery of redemption throughout the Word has tied together. Same pattern all the way through. We've seen that they were purged by the Word. Then we must see how we're purged. Now we've got to be purged the same way. Or have we got a different redemption for us? Same redemption. Let's just think about redemption for ourselves now for a few minutes. And just see if it'll tie together and come out to be the Word that does the purging for us as same as it has for them. Then we know that our pattern comes all the way. It'll fit every scripture in the Bible and come out right to the end time. And see where we're at. But just think about redemption now. I'm talking about just your new birth. Just think about for the next few minutes just about your new birth. There's three stages to that new birth: justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be justified, which is your sins forgiven, and not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can be sanctified and not have it. But you won't be born again unless you're justified and sanctified. You don't bypass no stages. That's why the Baptists see that is, you believe on, yes, I believe on, well, you must be born again then, because you believe on the Lord. That was just a work that the Lord began. I ain't talking about all of them now, because there's some Baptists that are born again. I'm talking about the majority, the organizational system of it. They just say, well, I believe on the Lord, and I'm saved. Then after a while, you see them out into the world, smoking, drinking, all that. Well, what are you doing? Well, I was born again years ago. You can't tell me that I ain't going to heaven. Well, you ain't trying to tell him he ain't going to heaven. You're trying to tell him to quit acting like a sinner. Well, there's none good, no, not one. Ain't none of us worth nothing. Same Bible that said that said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Same Bible said both of them did. Then they must fit together. But now let's just think about it now. The first step in your new birth is justification by faith. And that faith is in the blood, and you're justified, as it says in Romans 3 and 24, being justified freely by His grace. Now, as I said, our pattern's got to fit all the way, or we'll come out wrong. So then we're going to have to see the new birth, and see what it is, and then when we get to the seals, we won't be looking for something different to redeem us, will we? We'll be looking at the same thing that we was looking at in the new birth. That's where the people can't catch the seals in what they reveal. They're looking for some, and I was too. I read the seal book through the first time, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was glad to hear the things he said, but I thought, well, I'll go back to the church age book. I got more out of that than I did out of the seal book. People looking for great mysteries. I rode all over the country talking to everybody about the new name of Jesus, because that's what I was hunting for. And as I said, I went up to Jeffersonville and saw that little sign on the cross that's up there that you see right there, I-N-R-I. And I thought, boy, I done found it now. I've found the new name of Jesus. I kept searching through the message, and Brother Man said, that means Jesus Christ, King of the Jews. Well, see, I'm like everybody. I look for those things, and I know what people look for. They think the seals. They think you're supposed to go along here and get everything just right, and then the seal's going to break something entirely different from anything you've ever heard. And they'll quote Brother Branham. They'll say the seal's broke on things I never heard. But did he preach it as something he had never heard, or did he preach it just deeper of what he'd already heard? Was that what he was talking about? See, then the mystery of redemption in the new birth, when you look at the new birth and see what it is and understand it, that's why I honestly believe and I'm truthful. And the people that hear these tapes, I hope you're truthful with your own self. There's very few people that know what the new birth really is. Oh, they know what Brother Branham says about it. But there's very few people that understand the new birth. You wouldn't be teaching two souls if a man understand the new birth. You wouldn't be teaching the seven thunder virtue message if he understood. You wouldn't be teaching that no Holy Ghost doctrine around years ago. These people wouldn't be running off setting dates and times and this and that and the other, and then come along later and bring a message that was a spiritual happening this past Easter or something. Well, why don't we go back like the Jehovah Witness and just be like they were? Because back there in, what, 1914, wasn't it Jehovah? Who was it? When they went up on the mountain and built the wings, you know, and went up on the mountains, and they come down off the mountains with their wet wings, and they thought the Lord was coming right then. And you know what? They turned around and said, well, that was a spiritual coming. that was a spiritual happening. See, when something don't come to pass the way I say it, you know, I'd prophesy, I'd say, Brother Daugherty, your house is going to be blowed away. I think he lives in a mobile home, but say, your house is going to be blowed away this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Nothing didn't happen. And I'd say, well, Brother Daugherty, what that was a spiritual happening. Your house spiritually got blowed away. Now, there's no need of lying to prop up something. See, if you knew what the new birth was, you wouldn't be doing that. I've found very few people, and I'm honestly speaking, that really knows what a soul is. And I wonder how much we know about it. That really know what a soul is. That woman, when she started to die, she knew what a soul was. Because all of her senses had done left her. The Holy Ghost anointing can be on your spirit and you'll think your soul is saved. I want to get into that tonight more and more. And then you'll see the sixth seal does reveal something for us. It'll have to reveal your true soul. Really what you are. Because I don't see redemption as being one way and then come over here and the mystery of redemption on the seals change off to be something else. I see it more of what we'd already been taught of in the Bible here to be right. And the prophet was just the word. Grace is unmerited favor. And they're there by grace that God gave them eternal life. All right, then we read the scripture in Romans 3:24 where being justified freely by His grace. Then we see that the fifth seal reveals the greatest revelation of grace that we'd ever studied in our life about it. Because as I said, people say, I've always believed in grace, but you didn't know what the fifth seal was until the prophet preached it, and you didn't know that there was a fifth seal Jew that would be given eternal life that killed the very person that was trying to give it to him. You didn't know that. And you know you didn't know it. But see, the fifth seal reveals grace. Then the just shall live by faith. Justification shows you that it just chops off your past sins. You remember on page 1516 of the Future Home? We preached on it enough to show that drawing out the heart and taking out the sin, it was there. Brother Brown said, that just chops off your past sins. He said, it does nothing to your nature or nothing. All right, then you look at the fifth seal Jew and see that that Jew, by grace, is saved. But yet when he's under the altar there, he still has that old thing left that he wants revenge. It done nothing to his nature because he died and was put in a specific place to stay there. Is that true? It done nothing to his nature. He still wants revenge at the time you see him under the fifth seal. All right, then the justification, and then we even tied the fifth church age in with it to compare it to that to see that under the fifth church age, we see that fifth church age come up there with a message of the just shall live by faith. All right, then our pattern holds true all the way through. The fifth seal shows your pattern ends up over there with that group of people given eternal life. Nothing done to their nature just because they're dying, taken up to heaven. Death don't change. Now listen, the prophet taught us that, didn't he? Death don't change nothing. It just changes your dwelling place. Now listen, I was Baptist and born and raised that way. And I know a little bit about what to talk about. Oh, we're none good, no, not one. We're all, well, you know, so-and-so, he done so. Well, you can't condemn him either. He that hath not sinned cast the first stone. I've been through all that. I know all about it. They can quote you scriptures, but how do they quote it and what thought do they quote it in? See, none good, no, not one. All right, it shows right where the person's at then. Or they'd know the scripture says, be ye therefore perfect over here, just as well as it says, none good, no, not one. And they've got to tie together. The pattern's got to come together, or you've got something split in your word. But what does the justification? We're taught on the seal book, I believe it's 251 or 464, one of those two. It says justification is a work of the Holy Ghost. All right, it's the word. It's the word that does it then. You're justified by faith in the blood. Now, faith in the blood is what? When the word is made known to you. What if you didn't know there was any such thing as a blood? So it's done by the word. All right, then that ties together all the way up to the fifth seal, showing souls under the altar, crying how long? See, nothing's happened to their nature. They got to go on to the white throne judgment and get eternal life, and then their nature's changed. So redemption doesn't change from one person to another, and it's all the same. How would the prophet say if he ever saved one person by the blood, he's got to save the next one by the blood? If he ever heal one person by faith, the next person reach that same place in faith, he'll heal them too. All right, then looking at it that way, we can see it tied together all the way through the Bible. Now, if you'll take all that's been said on the sixth seal, you'll see it just tie right into the Bible. We saw on the sixth seal a salvation to Israel as a purging, to the world as a purging, to the foolish virgin there's a purging. We saw that happen by the word now. All right? There is a judgment seal, sixth seal, judgment seal, or a purging. Now the word sanctification, page 16 of the Future Home of the Bride, Brother Ryan said the word sanctification means what? It's a Greek compound word which means cleansed and set aside for service. In other words, there's a purging there. When you're sanctified, there is a purging. And Brother Branham says on that Future Home, he said it purchases the territory of your mind. It sets your mind in order for holiness, not your brain now. Your soul is what he's talking about. So then you can see under sanctification, which is the second work of grace, it ties exactly into the sixth seal because sanctification shows you that you're cleansed and set aside for service. And the sixth seal, judgment seal of the word, shows you a purging over there. A cleansing and setting aside. That's what it does to the world. That's what the sixth seal does to the world. It cleanses the world and sets it aside so much. Now listen, so much until it can be a millennium. And I'd never been able to connect that together. I was talking to my wife with it last night about that. There'll be a group of people that'll be so purged. Listen, the world will be so purged, so set aside for service, that in the millennium, Satan is bound. Is that true? He's bound by chain of circumstances. What did the prophet say that chain of circumstances was? Said he didn't have nobody he could work through. Is that what he said it was? He said that was a chain of circumstances Satan is bound by. Said he don't have nobody he can work through. So he's bound in the millennium because everything is so sanctified, so cleansed and set aside. The people is living there and all the world is so set aside for service, he don't have nobody he can work through. Well, now, didn't the prophet tell us that there was a place man could reach to where that he would not sin? Now, you've heard Brother Moat preach on that enough, hadn't you? That you ought to understand that there is a place in Christ that you will be so purged that Satan is bound. Now, is that what he's saying? In the millennium, Satan will be so purged there until Satan will be bound. It'll be so cleansed and set aside for service, Satan will be bound. the bride of Jesus Christ will be so sanctified by the word of the Lord until Satan can't do it. And that's the scripture I got to here a while back when I said I was riding around that afternoon and the Lord spoke to me, because Jesus said Satan, and no, we're talking about Satan, says the prince cometh and he hath nothing in me. Jesus' body, soul, spirit, and all was so sanctified and set aside for the service that God was using it till he said, Satan hath nothing in me. There'll be a church come to that, or she don't make the rapture. Now that's what the prophet says. She'll come to that place, or she don't make the rapture. You say, where'd the prophet say that at? Throughout the whole message. Just go to reading. He said there'd be a church come to a place that they would not sin. What do you think he's talking about? They'd be so set aside that they would not sin. There has to be somebody reach that place. It might not be but one person, but somebody will reach that place. I can see more and more now why the prophet would say one or two out of Georgia, one out of Tennessee, two out of Tennessee, one or two out of a state. Because people don't understand what you're talking about. That foolish virgin takes that word and dies for it. She becomes so much to the place that the word is so important to her till she dies in the tribulation, and she's just a foolish virgin. Don't even have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There has to be a church that will be so sanctified, and the first step of your sanctification is just the fact that you're cleansed and set aside for service. Then it goes on till there'll be a church so set aside for service. What do you think? Why do you think God came on the scene to the prophet? Everybody wants to follow in his footsteps, footprints in the sands of time. They want to follow in his footsteps. To follow in the footsteps of the prophet, you'd have to be so sanctified until God could set you aside for service. Now, is that true or not? Then the sixth seal shows you there is such a purging that can be done. To purge something, what do? You take away the unwanted. You purge a vine out there that's like grapevines. If you don't cut back all of that mess out of the way, you won't get no new grapes. It's got to put out its own vines and grow the grapes, ain't it? So you purge it, you cut it back, and you get rid of the unwanted. And it'll bear like everything. Purging means to get rid of. So that's your sixth seal, purging. Gets rid of something. As I said, Satan has to be in a church so bound until it's like in the millennium that he'll be bound by a chain of circumstances. Now, if you're cleansed and set aside for service, then that means that the prophet's right there all the way through and comes out to the sixth seal when he started off talking about how that on page 11 and 12 of How Can I Overcome, when he said the unclean spirit's gone out of a man. How many seals did Jesus preach? We'll get to it tonight a little more. How many seals did Jesus preach? He preached six seals, didn't he? What was his message? Sanctification. John preached justification. Jesus preached sanctification. He was preaching sanctification when he said, the unclean spirit gone out of a man walketh in dry places, seeketh rest, and findeth none. Comes back and findeth his house swept and garnished, enters back into the house, and the state of the person is seven times worse than it was originally. And listen, church, this is talking about the soul. But watch what he's saying and who it's talking about. Page 11 of How Can I Overcome. People so live. People can live a clean, holy life, not be sinful, adulterers, drinkers, liars, gamblers. They can live above that and still not with it. See, it's the age of the personal life of Christ, where the chemicals of the body, what was in him, first under justification, what the water baptism, second under the new birth of Wesley, sanctification which cleanses, and thirdly with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, putting that sanctified vessel into service. See, the word sanctify means it's a compound Greek word which means cleaned and set aside for service, set aside for service. Now, the Holy Spirit puts it in service. And we'll notice when the unclean spirit's gone from a man, he walks in dry places. That's exactly what the church has done. Now, he's talking about the church. Baptists, Methodists, and those who believe in sanctification. Then Jesus said the unclean spirit that went out returns back to this church body and finds the house garnished, swept, clean, living, pure, clean lives are. But then if that evil demon, if that house isn't filled, occupied, then he comes in with seven other evil demons worse than he was. The last stage of this place is seven times worse than it was the first. They'd be better to stay Lutherans than it would to receive that light and fail to follow it. He's talking about the church. Now, the unclean spirit's gone out at sanctification. That's cleansed and set aside, or purged. Then that goes, as I said, now all the way to the sixth seal, if you saw what I was talking about. The unclean spirit goes out at sanctification. Means cleansed and set aside for service. We covered last week, the disciples taught a daily sanctification. Paul said, I die daily. I keep my body under subjection, that lest after I preach to others, I be a castaway. That's sanctification he is talking about. That's a daily cleansing from our bad things going on. Habits and things that we do, or something that catches us and pulls us down. A daily sanctification. Then goes on to the sanctification of the bride of Jesus Christ. But see, that's what I believe is happening. As I said, for the millennium over there, they will be so purged. The people that live in the millennium will be so purged, so cleansed and set aside for service. And Brother Brown said, you're still in a sanctifying process when you're going through the millennium, because you get the fiery baptism of the world and all the others on out there later, so the world's still going through a process. But it'll be so cleansed and set aside for service till Satan is bound and cannot work. Then that means there's a church of the living God somewhere that'll come, that unclean spirit is so gone out of them that it cannot come back and work anymore, and will be bound by a chain of circumstances. He just won't be able to work anymore. Brother Brown said, you can live so close to God till Satan don't know what to do with you. He can throw you down, stomp you, kick you, and everything else, and you still get up praising the Lord. He can make you sick. He can do everything in the book. You still get up praising the Lord. Or do we go, oh, me, I'm having troubles. That gets me more than anything else to hear the people of this message talk like that. After all the prophet taught, you show me one time in the Bible and you show me one time in Brother Brown's message, he ever taught anything like the people of the message. Well, I ain't got nothing and you ain't got nothing either. We just all in a bad bunch of trouble and having heartaches and trials. Now you show me that in the message, you show me it in Brother Round's message, or the Bible, either one, and I'll put a sign on my back and walk down this street that I'm a false prophet and never preach another sermon. You come and do it, because it's not there. You never seen a man that was more humble than all in his life and brought that way by heartaches and troubles, but you never heard Brother Branham talk, oh, we're just all in bad shape. We just hardly got faith for divine healing, let alone for the rapture. Why don't we just say, that's what I think. Man come by the other day, me and Brother Dick Addison was talking about the seals, and he said, man, that's a deep subject. He said, I don't think there's nobody understands that. He walked off a little piece. I said, hey, Larry, come in. I said, why don't you say you don't think nobody understands that? I said, why don't you say it that way? You remember Brother Branham, they're talking one time, a fellow was, said, we don't want you over here. Brother Branham wasn't going to go to Africa. He said, because they said, come find out, it's just one man. See, he thought it was a whole group, didn't want him. Everybody else was wanting him and laying in the streets praying for him to come. One man wrote him a letter and said, we don't want you over here. Why don't you say we when you say that way? Me and my church don't believe that stuff you're talking about. Don't say everybody don't, because somebody will believe it. I wouldn't be preaching it the way I am if I didn't believe somebody would believe it someday and stand on it. As Brother Woodby said, you got to put your faith out. You got to stand out there. Put it out there. And call for it. If God don't come on the scene to it, as I said the other day, what I'm talking about, I'll find out I'm lost anyway. Well, there's one thing about it. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I want to be what I am, right or wrong. If I'm supposed to be a devil, I want to be the best one in the world. If I'm supposed to be a deceiver, I want to know that one of these days I took more people with me than anybody. I want to be a good deceiver because I want to do what the Lord put me in this world to do. But I believe He put me here to preach the gospel to a group of people that would come to a place that they could believe it and stand on it and tell the devil to get out of here. He starts coming at you, and I'm the world's worst. I'm talking about myself. I wish you'd walk in my body a while and let the things come to you that comes to me. Let the heartaches and troubles be on your shoulders that comes to mine a lot of times. I go out there and talk. And I hope that if they hear these tapes, maybe they'll take it in the right attitude. I go out there and talk with the brothers that go to these other churches, and I see it, and I say to them, I say, brothers, if you don't get them sealed, you're not going to make it. Well, they know their pastor's not preaching no seals. And I sat there with my heart crying out, wanting to tell them the truth and try to show them the Word. Because a lot of them, I want them into the message myself. But knowing that they're pastors, I'm talking about more than one, not just one, knowing that they're not preaching the truth, and they'll tell you theirself or not. And that just tires my heart out to come home thinking about that. Thinking that you try to tell them everything in the world, try to help them, and they're still so bound by that thing. Till they'll stand right in your face and say, when the Lord tells me to leave my church and come to Lula, I'll come. The Lord has to tell you by the Word. He can't tell you no other way. Church, there'll be somebody catch it. And there'll be somebody that'll be so sanctified by the Word until God will come on the scene. We've done found by, I hope this morning you caught more about it, that it's not the purging, it's the Word that does the purging. It's not the purging that brings the Word. It's not the purging of the tribulation period that brings God on the scene, you know, the natural fall into the tribulations, the thing. It's not that. It's the Word that He comes to. He'll only come to the Word in me and you. Let's stand together. Father, we ask You that You would just come now and make Your Word alive. You promised that it would be here, and then You'd reveal it, and then You'd make it alive. So we believe it. We just ask You to cleanse the people and so set us aside for service that, as Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips and dwell among a people of unclean lips. Come and send a cherubim from the golden altars and let him bring a fiery coal and cleanse our tongues that we may speak. Cleanse our lives that we may live. So guide us in Christ until we see Christ among us. In Jesus' name. Let's just sing a hymn if anyone has a need.
Let's sing this meeting in the air, number 94. We haven't sung it in a long time. We can't sing it without with Joyce, because she can't play it, but we can sing it when... Now, if I started off too coarse, you forgive me. My voice is not worth 2 cents to sing anyway, especially the lead. Brother Woodby used to laugh at me when I'd say, you start off Amazing Grace, and I'd say, oh, me. Well, see, ain't nobody else can get down that way unless they sing bass. So I've got it about 4 keys too low from what it ought to be started off for everybody to sing in. So you started off in yours, and if we'll catch up with you somewhere. You ever heard Brother Branham start off a song? I ain't never heard nobody that could be so much out of key and so much off tune in all of my life that was singing. But in a few minutes, somebody else would say it, and he'd be right in tune with them and be right just perfect in harmony with the rest of them. So you started off that way, and we'll try to get it. You have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. You have heard the story told of dreaming Joseph. And of Jonah and the whale you often seen. There are many, many others through the Bible. I should like to meet them all, I do declare. By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. Listen to the words of the song now. Many things will there be missing in that meeting. For the mourner's bench will have no place at all. There will never be a sermon preached to sinners, for the sinner had refused to heed the call. There will be no mourning over loved ones. There will be no lonely nights of pleading prayer. All our burdens and our anguish will be lifted at that meeting. In the air, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you over there in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. 'Twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air. There the doubters will be missing altogether. All the skeptics will be absent on that day. There will be no grumblers present to disturb us, and the Ankins will be busy far away. There the saints will have his seal upon their foreheads, dressed in raiment none but ransomed ones can wear. All who have the wedding garments will be present at that meeting in the air. There is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. You believe it? I am going to meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear.
will be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air.
Amen. We appreciate each one of you being out this morning. Just pray one for another. Anyone have anything to say before we dismiss? If not, Brother Tatum, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Take the ring.